Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Archeries Podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book, Pyramid of Lies. The Prime Minister, the Banker, and the Billion-Pound Scandal is an investigative nonfiction account by financial journalist Duncan Maven. The book examines the rise and collapse of Greensill Capital, the financial firm founded by Lex Greensill, and the wider scandal that links supply chain finance, political access, banking, and corporate influence. Rather than presenting a broad history of finance, it focuses on how a seemingly technical lending model became a vehicle for risk-taking, poor oversight, and reputational damage at the highest levels of British public life. Maven draws on years of reporting to explain how Greensill expanded, how confidence in the business was built, and why the company eventually unraveled in 2021. The book is both a scandal narrative and a financial investigation, making complex market structures and governance failures understandable to general readers while remaining grounded in the realities of modern shadow banking. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, how Greensill Capital turned supply chain finance into a high-risk business model. A central theme of the book is the contrast between the simplicity of Greensill Capital's sales pitch and the complexity of its actual risk exposure. Supply chain finance is presented as a legitimate and widely used business tool, but Maven shows how Greensill used that framework to expand aggressively, often in ways that depended on assumptions about repayment, insurance, and investor confidence. The key issue is not that the product itself was novel, but that it was marketed as efficient and low risk, while the underlying lending practices became increasingly fragile. This matters because the scandal illustrates how financial innovation can obscure, rather than reduce danger, when clients, investors, and regulators do not fully understand the structure. The book uses Greensill as a case study in how a standard commercial mechanism can be stretched into a shadow banking operation with much larger consequences than its surface. Description suggests. Secondly, the role of political access in giving a financial firm credibility it had not earned. The book gives significant attention to the relationship between Greensill Capital and figures in British politics, especially former Prime Minister David Cameron. Maven does not treat this as a side controversy, but as part of the firm's business strategy, because access to powerful people can function as a form of informal endorsement. That credibility can help a company win contracts, reassure lenders, and discourage scrutiny, even when its internal controls are weak. The broader analytical point is that political proximity can distort market judgment by making a firm appear safer or more established than it actually is. The scandal, therefore, becomes more than a story about one banker or one company. It shows how influence operates as a commercial asset in modern finance. By tracing these connections, the book highlights the risks that arise when access to government and prestige are treated as substitutes for transparency, due diligence, and sound governance. Thirdly, risk management failures and the erosion of internal controls inside Greensill. Another major topic is the breakdown of ordinary safeguards inside the company. The book describes how warning signs accumulated through risky clients, questionable loan quality, and pressure to keep the business expanding. What makes this important is that the collapse was not merely the result of external shocks. It also reflected internal failures to confront problems early enough. Maven's reporting suggests a culture in which commercial momentum overwhelmed caution, and where risk functions appear to have had limited power relative to sales, growth, and fundraising demands. This is a familiar pattern in financial scandals, but the book makes it concrete by showing how weak controls can normalize bad decisions over time. The lesson is that sophisticated branding and rapid expansion do not compensate for basic governance failures. In the Greensill case, the gap between public image and internal discipline became one of the main reasons the business could not survive pressure once confidence began to break down. Fourthly, why shadow banking and investor money create systemic consequences beyond one firm. Pyramid of Lies is also an explanation of how shadow banking can spread risk across many actors who may not fully understand one another's exposure. Greensill did not operate like a simple lender serving a limited set of borrowers. It relied on a wider financial ecosystem involving investors, insurers, banks, and intermediary structures. This matters because such systems can appear dispersed and resilient while actually concentrating hidden vulnerabilities. Maven shows that once confidence weakens in one part of the chain, the damage can extend far beyond the original company. Jobs, suppliers, political reputations, and institutional balance sheets can all be affected. The book therefore frames Greensill as a warning about the architecture of modern finance, where risk is often packaged, transferred, and obscured rather than eliminated. Its value lies in making that architecture legible to readers who may otherwise see the scandal only as a story of individual misconduct. The broader point is systemic. When financial products are complex enough to evade easy oversight, the consequences of failure become harder to contain. Lastly, an investigative journalism approach that turns a complex scandal into a readable financial case study The book stands out because of its method as much as its subject. Duncan Maven is a financial journalist, and the narrative reflects years of reporting rather than a retrospective summary built from public headlines alone. That background allows him to connect technical finance with institutional behavior and public accountability without losing narrative clarity. The book is useful not just because it recounts a scandal, but because it shows how to investigate one, follow the money, examine incentives, compare official claims with operational realities, and identify where power reduced scrutiny. This gives the book practical value for readers who want to understand how major corporate failures are documented and explained. It also makes the subject more accessible than a purely academic analysis would be. By combining business reporting, political context, and narrative structure, Maven produces a book that works both as a record of a specific scandal and as a model for reading contemporary finance critically. In conclusion, Pyramid of Lies should be read by anyone interested in financial scandals, corporate governance, political influence, or the mechanics of modern shadow banking. It is especially suitable for readers who want a serious but accessible account of how a private financial company became tied to public controversy at the highest levels of government. The book offers practical value by showing how weak controls, reputational shortcuts, and over-reliance on access can allow risk to accumulate unnoticed until collapse becomes unavoidable. It also has intellectual value because it explains a technically complicated subject without reducing it to jargon or gossip. Compared with many books in this category, it stands out for its balance of investigative detail and narrative discipline. Maven is not simply recounting a fraud story or a political memoir. He is tracing the interaction between finance, status, and power in a way that reveals why the scandal mattered beyond one company. Readers looking for a carefully reported account of how modern financial systems can fail will find this book particularly useful. If you would like to support Duncan Maven, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.